Maybe we should sing another song. Get everybody in their chairs. You don't want me to lead a song.
Oh, we're not going to?
No, I would have to lip sync the song, you know. But
that's what Donald does all the time, so.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
It's great we have some guests here today. You know, we've been doing a month-long series on communication, all right? So pressure's on for me. I got to communicate this sermon really well now, don't I? So there's two titles for this sermon. The first one is called Four Biblical Principles for Communication. And the other one's called Keeping Track of Those Feathers. Okay.
Okay.
So, who remembers the movie Cool Hand Luke? Raise your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. Anybody over the age of maybe 50 probably knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, there's a great quote, I love it, and he, this is my best Southern accent I'm going to do here. So, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Then the most important line of the quote that most people don't know, it says, some man you just can't reach. You know, Paul Newman's character in the movie was, he was a prisoner, and he was stubborn, but the warden was holding the whip, and he was just as stubborn. Yeah. You know, because we are the image of God, we are bearers of his image, which is a big responsibility, isn't it? You know, God's words are really important. Each verse, each word, with each syllable that is spoken and communicated to each one of us. In Hebrews 4, chapter 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I'd like to show you this quick video. It's really silly, but you know, just have patience. Only lasts a few seconds here. It's a bit choppy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good enough. That's the only video I could find where they're getting a pillow fight outdoors. But just imagine the feathers are actually being words, you know. Now, if I was like the grip or the person holding the camera, I'd be like, I ain't cleaning that up. I ain't cleaning that up. And if they came out really angry, upset, I know I wouldn't be cleaning it, because I would be thinking all the upset words that were said. You know, feathers that have escaped the pillow will be floating around for like just like, who knows how long.
Right.
And then I use this silly video. It's kind of as a metaphor on how words can escape us and float away. And no matter how hard we try, we will be unable to retrieve those words once they have left our lips. You know, which is fine and dandy. If the words are words of encouragement, compassion, love, mercy, but believe it or not, there are times, on occasions, I'm sure this has never happened to y'all.
It has not.
Okay? That there will be words that will slip from the between your lips that we wish we could retrieve, but we can't. They are gone, and all we can do is say, you know, I'm sorry, and we rely on the grace and the grace of others.
Yeah.
You know, because the age that we live in, the age of communication, and the technology that we have, just like on our fingertips, there are all sorts of ways to communicate. Now, the written word can now last just like indefinitely for the whole world to see. The words used to communicate can be either happy or sad or angry or with grief. And it's like a genie, for better or for worse, the words that we choose to speak will never be retrieved and put back into the bottle. You know, we can really, and I know I can be really cavalier with the words on social media, and we all can, can't we? Not fully understanding the repercussions of what we communicate. You know, relationships live or die on just how we communicate. And many times the communication starts even before the conversation begins.
That's
right? We have body language, we have a disposition, the sound of our voice. They all can really quickly reveal our mood to others. Now, like when Zuma comes through and closes the door, and just hearing the way the door is closed behind her, I'm sure Donald can tell if Zuma had had a good day or a bad day. Now, maybe not. According to the book, this one book is called The Lasting Promise, written by four clinical researchers that, you know, collected data from 135 couples. And if there is one trait that needs for a relationship to be successful, to prosper, now these relationships are written for marriages, but it really pertains to all relationships. Mm-hmm. The way we communicate will be the deciding factor if the relationship will last or doesn't last. Mm-hmm. Whether the relationship will thrive or eventually will just like part ways.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. I'm so grateful, Father, just being able to have the opportunity to speak today, Father. Bless this time that we have together. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. So let's all turn to 1 Corinthians. Or you could look up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 12 to 27. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason not stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. For if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I mean, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weak are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While the presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So principle number one, words matter. Respect the power of the words. I mean, we've all heard that nursery rhyme, sticks and stones can break my bones, right? It's a nursery rhyme that was to help children to become more resilient to name calling. Do you remember hearing that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounded good, and it has a nice ring to it. It might even make a great bumper sticker, but it couldn't be further from the truth. So somewhere around, I say, for me, it was around middle school, you stopped thinking about the nursery rhyme, sticks and stones and may break your bones, because you realize it was really untrue. The Bible even tells us that it was untrue. You know, no matter how many times you repeat sticks and stones rhyme, your words really do have a sting to it. You know, the rhyme really should be accurately stated as sticks and stones can break your bones, but your words can kill you. And we all know this. You know, some people, when they get stung by a bee, they say, wow, dang, that hurts, and they go about their business. And there are some people like me who, when they get stung by a bug, any bug, I get these just really annoying welts. and these itchy welts that take forever to go away. So I'm like a kind of like a functioning alcoholic when it comes to my feelings. When I get my feelings bruised and hurt, I treat feelings kind of like my welts from a bug bite. I suppress my annoyance and I don't communicate when in a righteous way. And many times I'll just kind of like lash out. Most times I kind of in like a passive aggressive way towards someone who is completely clueless to the bad feelings that I have suppressed. Now, Julia, my wife, she has purchased these medicines and these ointments and have them at home in our medicine cabinet in our bedroom, in our bathroom, that I can use to help smooth my pain of my bug bites that, you know, will help with the itchiness and these annoying welts. And there are times where I'll reach up into the cabinet before I go like into the shower, and I'll go for the shampoo or for a razor and whatever bug bite lotion that will help me. It's just right there, right? And there I guess my hand finds it's just too much of an inconvenience to grab the lotion that Julia had purchased and apply it to, you know, where it hurts after the shower. So like, I'm like, why do I do that? The lotion is right there. Right. It is right there. And it's probably a combination of things. I'm gonna suck it up. Or I'm just like in denial, it's not that bad, it'll get better. Or really, I think it comes down to just I'm lazy. We're all kind of like creatures of habit, and I get focused on my routine. I tend to avoid everything outside the boundaries. And one can die a thousand cuts if we do not deal with what burdens us in a righteous way. And in the Bible, it's just like, right, it's right there, right on my nightstand. We can navigate our feelings so we can minimize our regrets.
Yeah.
In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 21, it says, the tongue has a power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, many of us here are haunted by what a person said to us 40 years ago, except Christopher, maybe, and anybody, you know, who's under 40. Words can destroy marriages, lifetime relationships, partnerships, people who might have studied even the Bible with us and helped us bring us to Christ. Words are just powerful, and our emotions and our ego are fragile things. And we need to respect not just God's words, but our words. You know, words are kind of like a wrecking ball, right? But on the flip side, they can inspire us to do good, to raise the level of discourse so we can be more like Him. Like Him. Words are like a tool that has been given for inspiration, or we can take this gift that we receive a communication to break someone's spirit. Mm-hmm. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Mm-hmm. You know, when words are used wisely and in love, they're like this holistic medicine that can give people hope and save them from despair. And during the day, communicating will be probably the most serious and perhaps the most dangerous thing that you can do. You will never learn to communicate well unless you respect the power of your speech. And principle number two, now Cindy mentioned this last week about the importance of humility. Principle number two, you need to fill your cup at the cross. Humility will make you a better listener.
Amen.
Mastery begins with humility. Who was the humblest person to walk on the face of the earth? And this is not a trick question. Jesus. Was Jesus a good listener? Now, you don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 4, verse 40 to 42, there's a conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And despite culture, gender, racial, or moral differences, look around, Jesus had this loving interaction with a Samaritan woman, and both listened and talked civilly to one another. And what happened? She became one of the strongest advocates. If you look in verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. You know, people are drawn to humility, and because humility is really not part of the human condition, I think humility elevates our spirit, and doing so elevates the conversation. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions."
Yeah.
You know, we can have a lot of pride in our own perceptions. And I'll give you an example. American students have this perception that they are really good at math, but their test scores place them near the bottom of other countries. Where the Japanese students' perception is that they are not proficient at math, yet their scores show they excel compared to other countries. Now, we really can think too highly of our abilities when it comes to communicating. We can easily just completely fool ourselves, and our own pride can just kind of get in our way.
Yeah.
You know, when I started working at my current position at Pangea, most of my training was done remotely, and the person training me was in Los Angeles. And I would record all of our conversations on the phone. And I also was very diligent. I took a lot of notes, and I quickly found that my recordings and my notes did not match at all. It was like two completely different conversations. I'm like, now why is that? You know, sometimes we can be, again, really overly confident of what is said, and we'll find later that we're just kind of fooling ourselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will repeat back to the person what they said to me, and they'll kind of like give me this blank stare, and they'll kind of like maybe sometime roll their eyes, and they'll go, no, that's not what I said. And go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read, also it's right there. I'm going to go ahead and read it. His divine power has given us everything we need for our godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, notice the verb tense that's underlined. It's not future, but has. God has given you everything that you need in life through Jesus. And that verse is true whether you personally feel your needs are met through Christ. And that's what we would call objective reality. All right? The beauty of Christ, we have an objective truth outside of us, away from our ego. And that tells us how things are instead of our subjective opinion. Understand?
Amen.
We need to know, because when we have this sit-down conversation with someone that we really care about, you recognize that all your needs are met in Christ. Now, Christ has given us the abilities needed for understanding. Christ gives us that, this is the cornerstone, elevated our communication. So when I have this sit-down conversation with Julia, I don't need to ask myself what I need for my wife, because Christ has equipped me with a set of skills of communicating. If I approach Julia in all my relationships that perspective to understand, well, I mean, we'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't think you have to turn there. I think everybody knows the scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil or rejoices in the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, if I do those things that God has given me, I will probably fail. I will, a few times, because I'm an incredibly flawed person, but we always persevere, yeah. Right? Because our Father has equipped me already with the ability to communicate what will prepare us for greatness. Mm-hmm. Principle number 3, Do not answer too quickly. There, I said it. Now, I had developed a bad habit of eating too quickly in elementary school. I wanted to be the first person out on the basketball court to play basketball with the basketball court and the ball all by myself with no distractions. You know, when I got older, people would ask me, you know, were you ever in the army, because I ate so fast. The habit of just like wolfing down my food had followed me well into adulthood. When we were part of the LA church in Los Angeles, right, we had this outdoor service, and there was a pie eating contest, and there wasn't a close second. I was the Seabiscuit of pie eating. I was the Michael Jordan of pie eating. You know, some people eat like pigs. I eat more like a duck. If you watch a duck, all the whole food just kind of slides down the throat, right? You see the impression of a hot dog. That's me. Now, I've learned to slow down a little bit as I've gotten older, but I still have a tendency to eat fast. But at least I've slowed down enough so I know what I'm eating. And words are, in a way, similar to the food that we consume. God uses food actually as an analogy. And you look in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Right. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Now, consuming God's words carefully helps us communicate thoughtfully. Yes. So like food, when you let your words that you hear digest, you might find a response more thought-provoking, enriching, with just more of value. And there are times that my response just can be really cavalier. And it's kind of like, I say, like processed sugar, where I have that kind of the initial intense flavor, like, you know, when you're chewing gum, and it fades quickly, and there's really no nutritional value to the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, it says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him.
Amen.
Now, I have heard it said that wisdom is what's left after we run out of personal opinions. So like, wow. Just look like a rudder of a ship. We are the captains of what we say. And our words can have just great value. People love value, don't they? People will enjoy their relationships more if they believe they bring and receive a sense of value. You know, I used to love skiing. And when I was younger, lift tickets were $15. That shows you how old I am. But now they're $120. Plus, and you got lodging, you got gas, you got rentals. And even though I love and enjoy skiing, I just don't see a good return for the money spent. I don't see value. A biblical response brings value. Someone who words bring joy, encouragement, and laughter in this world brings value.
Amen.
You know, James 1, verse 19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You know, when again, back to the LA church, you know, there was this disciple that was going to school to get her psychology degree, and she got an internship in a crisis center, and she was insecure about her abilities because she didn't have that degree yet. And she believed that she didn't have much to offer, that she didn't really have much value there. And one of the counselors assured her that people seeking help just want someone who would just listen.
Yeah, wow.
We all have, everyone here has insecurities concerning their lack of abilities. You yes. might even see yourself like a total fool. But let's say that you're a total nincompoop and you feel like you don't bring much value. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, it says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. I mean, there's a lot of educated fools out there, aren't there? Where they just are, their mouth runneth over.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we speak, we're just like repeating things we already know. But if we listen, we may learn something.
Yeah.
Lastly, the fourth principle is always leave it better than when you have found it. I mean, there are times when I went hiking with my father, and he would stop, wipe his brow, and look at his map, and my father would say, well, it's time to reconnoiter, which basically means let's take a step back, kind of get an aerial view and see where we're going. Are we heading in the right direction? And sometimes we need to regroup. Take a step back during the course of a conversation and reconnoiter before our emotions get the best of us.
Wow.
You know, when my father and I left the campground, we would always pick up the trash. And if people left trash behind, we felt it was our duty, kind of like a code, to pick up the trash of others.
Yep.
So the next group of hikers would enjoy their stay. We don't want our words of discouragement to linger like the feathers for others to pick up.
Right.
Now back to Cool Hand Luke. Some men you cannot reach, and that is true. Some people you can't reach. Well, maybe not at that moment, but as disciples, we spread seeds of faith and work his soil. And if we communicate with love, I believe many who we just couldn't reach at that time, they had compartmentalized the conversation somewhere in the back of their minds, and what was said might reveal itself at perhaps and rescue them later in when the season's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, okay, verse 29. And sometimes when I have my quiet time, I like reading a scripture and just picking out certain words and just focusing on these words and how do they apply to the verse that you're reading. So that's what we're going to do with just four words. First word is corrupt. And the definition is having or showing a willingness to act dishonestly in return for money or personal gain. So no matter where one may fall, let's say on the political spectrum, I think we could agree that our political system and many of our institutions have become corrupt.
Amen.
Okay, the trust between our representatives and the people have been broken. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's a fair assessment. How does that make you feel? And maybe betrayed, scammed, bitter. When our trust has been broken, communication becomes frayed. Using words wisely and thoughtfully strengthens the ability to persuade. And the second word I have is proceed, and is of an action, be carried or continued. Mm-hmm. Carried on or continued. And here's an example. As the excavation proceeds, the visible layers can be recorded and studied. Mm-hmm. Now our mind is the gatekeeper that keeps the heart in check to help us to limit regrets. We have all said things, hurtful things, stupid things, inappropriate things that we wish we had not.
Yep.
In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control.
Yep.
And the last words that I got here underlined is, I got edifying the minister, okay. So edifying is provide moral or intellectual instruction. Now, moral and intellectual are two different things, because intellectual and wise are not the same. Germany had the highest percentage of Nobel laureates before World War II. Good morals can enhance the intellectual side of us, but intellectualism, if not kept checked with biblical standards, can lead to a Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
John 1 verse 1 says, I'll just go ahead and read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Our calling is to emulate that light in the darkest of times.
Yes.
And we channel that light through the words that we speak. The last one is minister, a person or thing used to achieve or convey something. So what did Jesus minister? Well, he ministered his life into the world. We are in his image and the bearer of that image. Our words and the way we communicate and minister those words, it will be how we're judged.
Yep.
And Matthew chapter 12, verse 36-37, it says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." It's how we use words that will be the deciding factor whether the world will be filled with love and joy or entrenched in despair. Jordan Peterson, I don't know if you ever heard of Jordan Peterson. He's a well-known professor, philosopher, author, a YouTuber, was asked How did he become a better communicator? Mm. How did he improve his communication? How do you improve your communication skills? Someone's asked. Well, Jordan Peterson's answer was, read a lot and write about your feelings. And if you do that 15 minutes a day, your communication skills will become better.
Wow.
You know, something to remember when you're having your quiet time, huh? You know, study his words and writing. What we have learned, we will learn, will help us become better in communicating righteously in all areas of our life. And no matter how old or how young, whether you're rich or poor, or quality of faith, and with perseverance, let him shape and mold and define you with a powerful words that you will someday speak. And I'll just close off with Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. It says, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You communicated.